Herbert wanted to describe to you the health effects research that we've been conducting on this major disaster that occurred in New York City on September 11th, where there were a variety of exposures that workers and volunteers were exposed to, including pulverized cement, gypsum, asbestos, silica, fibrous glass, heavy metals, acid mists, and products of combustion, VOCs like benzene and PAHs. An estimated 50,000 people worked at Ground Zero and at the Staten Island landfill in rescue, recovery, debris removal and disposal, and restoration of services. They were traditional responders, fire, police, EMS, but also many non-traditional disaster responders, construction workers, transportation workers, sanitation workers, who all came to the scene to help. Through funding from CDC, several programs were established in the city to help provide medical services for these workers. First, the fire department of New York. Second, there was a consortium of occupational medicine clinics at various settings in New York and New Jersey that was established, this worker and volunteer medical screening program. And finally, a health registry established by the New York City Department of Health. Let me describe these briefly in more detail. The fire department program in New York City. The fire department started medical examinations for its employees in October 2001. They have provided exams for over 14,000 of their members as of June of this year. And the strengths of their program really were that they had established ongoing medical examinations for firefighters prior to 9/11, so they had baseline health information to work with in going forward, and established systems for data management from these exams. Continue to the next organization, the World Trade Center Worker and Volunteer Medical Screening Program. This was a consortium, as I said, mainly of occupational medicine clinics. With funding from NIOSH, they began seeing patients in July of 2002. They have seen to date over 22,000 patients, provided comprehensive medical screening examinations. Federally funded treatment, both for the firefighters and for this group, however, did not arrive until 5 years after 9/11. Up until then, private foundations were helping with providing treatment costs for workers and volunteers that did not have insurance to cover it. And as I kind of alluded to earlier, the responders were an occupationally and culturally and ethnically diverse group. And we're still seeing new responders enrolling in the medical screening program of 300 to 500 per month. Finally, this World Trade Center Health Registry that was established by the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, jointly with the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Research, with additional five-year funding from FEMA and ATSDR, they have screened, provided a 30-minute telephone interview with now 71,000 people in the New York City area. Not just responders, there were 29,000 responders among their 71,000 interviewees, but also many groups of community residents and people that were evacuated from the World Trade Towers. So this is really the largest health screening effort post-disaster that I know of. It's a much shorter interview than the other programs have, but it's enrolled more people than the other programs. So what's new in some of the research that's been conducted? I'll provide at the end a website, our website that contains some of the new publications on this topic. But first of all, responders seen in our screening program show elevated rates of spirometry abnormalities, low FVC, compared to national populations. Among firefighter responders in New York, there's been an increased incidence of sarcoid-like granulomatous disease, lung disease, in firefighters post 9/11. In several of the studies, a high rate of newly diagnosed asthma in responders associated both with time of arrival at the site, higher risk of illness if arriving on 9/11 or earlier, or early in the process, including 9/11, and associated with longer duration of exposure. And finally, greater risk of post-traumatic stress disorder in workers from occupations least likely to have had disaster training experience. In other words, occupations such as construction worker, transit worker, sanitation worker, as opposed to fire and police. All right, I'm sorry for this small print in this slide. As I mentioned, the publications are available on the site. An important point here is to show that the persistence of symptoms, these respiratory symptoms, 10 to 47 months after 9/11, that's when these patients were enrolled in these programs. In our study from Mount Sinai, this was the one study that excluded people from this analysis in which where they had symptoms prior to 9/11. So you can see for those people without symptoms prior to 9/11, 10 to 28% had persistent upper respiratory and lower respiratory symptoms 10 to 30 months after 9/11. The next slide summarizes some of the other major studies and shows that points to the dose-response relationship that I mentioned earlier. Three of four studies that looked at time of arrival. The earlier the time of arrival, the greater risk of symptoms or disease. Two of the two studies that examined duration of time working at ground zero showed an association with risk of disease. And finally, location. Two of the two studies that examined this showed an increased risk of disease for people working at the disaster site or right next to it compared to those working further away. Mental health findings in this population. First findings from the World Trade Center Registry. They found a prevalence of PTSD of 12% in their survey sample, but a much higher percent, 21%, for unaffiliated volunteers. People tended to have less prior disaster response training. And the greatest risk was also among construction workers and others. Okay. Mental health findings from our screening program at Mount Sinai and other occupational medicine clinics found similar results. There was a high risk of mental health problems identified in the first 1,100 responders on which we published so far, and the risk for PTSD was four times the rate of PTSD in the general population. We're preparing a new paper now with a larger sample of responders from the study. As I mentioned, it took, even though federal funding for medical screening was available within a year after 9/11, money for treatment took a long time, sadly. Treatment was begun through private foundation funding, but the goals of the federal funding for treatment were to provide free medical and mental health treatment for all responders, regardless of their ability to pay, to enhance the ability to track the health status of responders, and finally to enhance identification and documentation of diseases possibly related to exposures sustained at the World Trade Center. So finally, to conclude, there are unanswered questions from this research that we are attempting to address. I'm sorry, let me also just mention our model here of providing medical monitoring examinations, which lead to referrals for diagnostic evaluations and treatment, which feed back into the types of examinations conducted. This previous slide just shows the scope of the different kinds of problems that have been experienced by responders. I described the respiratory and mental health conditions, but over 40% have been reporting persistent gastrointestinal conditions, primarily reflux. A small but substantial number have persistent musculoskeletal conditions, and of course the most common conditions being upper respiratory rhinitis and sinusitis, and lower respiratory asthma, chronic cough, and COPD. And finally, there are still many unanswered questions. How long will these conditions and symptoms persist? With what degree of severity and associated disability? And will new health problems emerge in responders as a result of their exposures to this uniquely complex mix of chemical compounds that contaminated the air, soil, and dust of New York City after 9/11? The long-term consequences of these unique exposures are still unknown. Thank you very much.